Warhead Boogie, Railroad Earth. Unfortunately, a very appropriate song for the show coming up. I'm John Barkhausen. This is a special edition of Politics and Science. And today, I'm interviewing some Russian visitors to our country who just arrived, I believe, yesterday or the day before, and are touring Vermont on their way to a broader U.S. tour to commemorate the Chernobyl disaster, which happened, I guess, 25 years ago this April, if I'm remembering correctly. And in light of the Fukushima nuclear reactor power plant disaster, which is still ongoing, totally coincidental that they're here now, but perhaps not, because many of us feel that that's the nature of nuclear power plants, to inevitably become a global disaster. I think it only takes one reactor to substantially contaminate half the world. So how many of these accidents can we afford is the question. They're not on the line yet. I'm going to get them. And they will be basically introducing themselves. But let me just quickly say that Natasha Manzarova worked as a liquidator at Chernobyl, which are the people who basically sacrificed themselves to seal that plant up as best could be done after it had a fire for, I think, over a week and contaminated much of Belarus and went on to contaminate Europe and Scotland. And they're still not able to eat the sheep in Scotland or the deer in Lapland from that, because of that accident. Also, Dr. Natalia Miranova, who's an anti-nuclear leader in Russia, and Tatiana Mukhamedyarov, I'm going to mess up their names because I can't speak Russian, who's a witness to past Cold War radiological accidents and environmental and human catastrophes, and is also working to educate the world about the inevitable nature of nuclear power. So I'm going to get them on the phone. And the preceding and the following show does present the viewpoints of its participants and producers and does not necessarily present an official opinion of WMRW or its license holder Rootswork or any other organization. So here's something from Bob Dylan while I connect with our Russian delegation. Stay tuned. All right. I can interrupt Duke Ellington here to bring up the first of my guests, or actually two of them. We have Tatiana. How do you say your last name, Tatiana?
Tatiana Mukhamedyarova.
Mukhamedyarova. You're going to be translating at, in the beginning here for Natalia
Manzarova.
I'd like to say that we're very happy to have you here in the United States, and we welcome you.
And счастливы вас видеть в Соединенных Штатах. Мы вас приветствуем. Okay, thank you.
And we appreciate you taking the trouble and the time to come over here to tell us about what's happened in Chernobyl, because we have not heard firsthand about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Natalia Manzarova. Mm-hmm. Right, and she was one of the liquidators at Chernobyl, and perhaps you can explain what a liquidator is.
Okay, Natalia Manzarova worked in a secret town of Azersk at the nuclear facility Mayak, where the first atomic bomb was developed. And 10 years before Chernobyl, she worked at a secret scientific institution. They were examining the impact of radiation on the environment after the terrible nuclear accident which happened in 1956-7. And in 1967, there were two accidents with the fallout of radiation on a big territory. No. The zone was contaminated with radiation, and the task of this institute was to examine the impact of radiation on the environment. Mm. When Chernobyl accident happened, in 1986 on the 26th of April. On the 4th of May, some days after the accident, all the nuclear scientists from this institute were ordered to go to Chernobyl to liquidate the accident. They went to Chernobyl and stayed in the town of Pripyat, which was 2 kilometers away from the reactors, which were ruined. And they had to map the contaminated area to take samples of vegetation, of soil, so as to determine how much radiation was there. And they had to see the level of radiation in all the houses which were left there. And they spent 2 years doing this, and then they had to bury the radioactive waste, because all the wooden houses which were left in the area, it was impossible to clean, so they had to dig big holes in the ground, and with the help of bulldozers, to push all these buildings into the ground and to bury there.
And that process took over 2 years or 3 years?
Yes, she spent 4 years on the Chernobyl site. First, they worked in shifts, so people were brought, worked, and then went out. And then they stayed permanently, but they stayed not in Pripyat, because the level of radiation was too high. They stayed outside in Chernobyl, really Chernobyl, постоянно.
And can you explain?
They stayed in Chernobyl, and they were brought by buses to the site every morning, and back to stay in Chernobyl at night. But the area was also very contaminated, and so they had to stay there.
Being scientists and radiologists, they must have been aware that this was very dangerous to do.
Yes, they were aware what they were to do. First, they didn't know the level of radiation. Then, after it was mapped, they understood that some radiation was even outside the 30-kilometer zone, because the fallout from Chernobyl was in spots, and some spots were even hotter spots than within this 30-kilometer zone. They knew about the danger, but it was all kept secret. So they wore dosimeters, but they had to submit these dosimeters to the laboratory, the levels of their internal radiation exposure were taken, but they were not told the amount.
Oh, they weren't. Even though they were the scientists taking the readings, they weren't.
Yes,
they weren't told the amounts.
Yes, but they were not told. So, any other questions?
Well, yes, I'd like to. And I would like to just have a brief explanation of exactly what happened at Chernobyl that caused this terrible contamination.
Okay, brief explanation. Короткое объяснение, что случилось в Чернобыле. You see, the fourth reactor at this power station was undergoing special testing. They were experimenting with it. In order to do this experiment, they shut down all the security systems. It was, of course, a violation of the rules of safety, regulations of safety, but they shut down all these systems, and the reaction, instant reaction, started very fast, and they didn't have any time to do anything because the reaction was very quick, and so the reactor exploded, was ruined, and more than 30% of radioactive activity, which was in the reactor, was released into the air. And the wind spread this activity into all directions. And so a lot of countries, European countries, North European countries, and even Turkey, Belarus, Norway, Finland, France, Russia, some parts of Russia, were contaminated with the fallout. And the map of radiation was in very big spots. Some places which were even nearer were not contaminated that high as some places which were far away.
Mm.
And this hindered the investigation of how, examination of how much radioactivity fell out. You see, this map was formed later. And, of course, this contamination was not clear at the beginning.
And the official, how did the official Russian government react to this disaster?
How the officials in Russia reacted?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the officials in Russia made it all the information secret at the very beginning. That's why the evacuation from the contaminated areas was not begun from the very beginning. The people stayed on the contaminated area for some time and were exposed to high levels of radiation. And that's why very many people, just the population of many areas, got internal irradiation of big doses.
If the government had reacted quickly and...
No, they didn't react quickly.
If they had, how many people would have had to have been evacuated and how far?
If they had reacted quickly, they would have to evacuate to towns, big towns, and a lot of villages which were in the contaminated area.
Mm. And do you think they didn't react quickly and move people because they were afraid of bad publicity for their nuclear program, or?
Почему они не отреагировали быстро? Вы думаете, потому что они боялись, что это нанесет урон индустрии ядерной? You know, she says that at the beginning, that this was not maybe the first reason. At the beginning, they couldn't assess the scale of the impact, the scale of the accident. It's difficult to assess at the beginning how much radiation was released and how much of the territory, what territories were contaminated. At first, they even didn't know whether the reactor itself was open. So it burned for, yes, you see, when the explosion happened, the cover, the lid of the reactor, which was 20 tons of concrete, it was just, high in the air, and then it was placed again on the reactor.
Oh.
So it was not clear, it couldn't be seen from above whether the reactor itself was ruptured. So they first they didn't know, but then the reactor burned. For 4 days, the reactor was burning, and so they started, when they saw the burning, they started from helicopters, they tried to put some sand and concrete mass on the place where it was burning.
Mm-hmm.
But as the temperature of burning was very high, everything melted, this mass of sand and concrete melted.
Mm.
like a lid on a pan, and so as the reactor's temperature went higher, it again exploded, another explosion. And so it happened that not only the radiation itself from the reactor, but the irradiation from heavy metals, which were just because they tried to cover the reactor with lead, and this is a heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
And when everything exploded, this lead was also, which was contaminated already, was also spread all over the territory. So that was another cause of irradiation or of contamination.
I see.
When the explosion happened, when the reactor is burning, a lot of radioactive iodine is released into the air, and radioactive lead just influences or is hazardous for health the same way as iodine. You see, there were two sources of health hazards. So the situation was very drastic.
Mm.
If any particles of this burning, if any particles of this fell on a body of anyone, then they had radioactive burns on the body.
Mm.
It was beta radiation.
So you had alpha particles and beta particles, and then...
Yes, то есть и альфа радиация, и бета радиация. Yes, alpha and beta are particles,
mm-hmm.
but gamma is the irradiation by rays.
That's right.
Radioactive rays, so that it can go through concrete even.
Mm. That's the photons.
Yeah.
It sounds like a major disaster, and even the attempts to seal it and stop the fire failed initially. How did they eventually put the fire out?
Как они прекратили это горение? Now, first of all, when they covered the lid, so to say, on this reactor, it started burning, and it melted down into the ground. Yes, and the whole world was on the edge of a very big catastrophe, because it was not clear if the reactor melted down deeper into the ground, it could leak discharge radioactivity into the underground water streams. And where the radioactivity appeared later, it was not clear. It would have been one more very tragic catastrophe. And Russian miners had to dig into the ground and to dig tunnels into the ground under the reactor and to put concrete into these tunnels so that the meltdown of the reactor would not reach the underground water.
Hmm.
That was another very heavy work done by Russian miners and very radioactive contamination.
Wow, I didn't know that. So they not only had to encapsulate it on the surface, they had to go underneath it. And
yes, they had not only on the surface, but they had to put some capsule under the reactor because it was going through.
And so is it, at this point, 25 years later, is it cooled down or is it still in a very hot state?
Yes, no, she says that it hasn't cooled down and there is a lot of radioactivity inside the shelter, and it is the situation is still dangerous because all the frames, everything that was the capsule of this reactor, everything has been ruined, and the radioactive material is still very hot, and graphite, plutonium, everything is kept inside, but the shelter which was built over the reactor, but it was the shelter was built very quickly, and you know what it happens when the construction is being carried out very quickly. So that's also possesses some problem.
Mm.
It was impossible to monitor because the construction, because it was impossible to get nearer to it. Some of the construction was being carried out distantly, you see, from a distance, because the radiation levels were so big that it was impossible to go there. So it is not quite clear whether there are any cracks. Yes, there were some holes in the concrete,
mm-hmm.
and now there are some holes in the concrete. So, if yes, there are now cracks in the shelter, and if anything happens inside, if any steel structure or anything will go down, then this radioactive dust, radioactive particles may again be put into the air and release, they can release through these cracks. And you know, when the reactor was burning, the burn particles just fell on the roof of another reactor, the next neighboring reactor, and they started burning, and that's why the people had to put these burning particles from the roof with their bare hands, with their yes, and so they, a lot of people got huge levels of radiation.
Mm. It sounds like there was an enormous cost in human life and in expense to try to subdue this disaster. What has been the cost? Just not the population at large, but just in the people who worked to control the fire and put it out.
You are asking about Japanese people who are now working.
I'm asking about Chernobyl for now.
Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Yes. What happened to the people who were fighting the fire? Yeah?
Yes.
Ага, что случилось с людьми, которые сражались с этим огнем? Что? They all died. And those people who survived immediate acute radiation disease, they were transported to Moscow, and they had to undergo transplantation of
bone marrow.
Yeah. It was at that moment a kind of an experiment because had never before such operations carried out. Yes, and all those who were operated on, they also died.
Mm.
But what is more, their transplants were taken from their relatives, and the relatives became disabled as
mm-hmm.
well.
Oh, gosh. It sounds like a nightmare. The people who sealed the reactor up so that it wouldn't leak, how many people worked on that?
And сколько людей работало, когда вот открывали реактор этим свинцом и так далее? Сколько там было людей? She says that it is highly unlikely that anybody knows the exact number because the people were brought to work for some time,
mm-hmm.
were taken away from this zone, they were brought again, and около миллиона. And yes, and just a moment, I'll tell you, approximately 5,100 personnel got exposed during, yes, 500,000 of personnel
mm.
got exposed during Chernobyl.
So,
and nearly 600,000, that is more than 500,000 soldiers, were exposed in Chernobyl.
In addition to the people working?
Yes, this is during the whole period of 25 years that because the contamination is still there. This is the data. More than 1 million people were exposed as liquidating this accident.
And how many people died in the initial fire?
Сколько умерло тогда, когда вот когда огонь-то горел, и вообще все это было неизвестно. Now, first, after the accident, 30 firefighting, fire, 30 people, firefighters, were buried. And from those people who were evacuated, the staff that was evacuated, they also died very quickly, but nobody counted. There is no such figures, no statistics. And or maybe it is kept secret, but it is not known.
I see. And of the people who came to bury the reactor, is there any statistics on what happened to them?
Yes. The presence of acute somatic disorders as well as signs of chronic diseases among the personnel, military, involved in the accident, but who did not have signs of acute radiation irradiation, should not be placed in a casual relationship with exposure to ionizing radiation. You see, that is, it means that that the state does not. Что это значит? Что штат государство не признает. They made everything secret. The government made everything secret. She's showing me some figures.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They classify information on the accident, classify information on results of treatment, classify information on the extent of radioactive damage to the personnel involved in the Chernobyl aftermath cleanup. You see? It's in 1986, on the 27th of June, this all information was classified by the strengthening the secrecy in carrying out works on liquidation of consequences of the Chernobyl accident. Letter from the chief of the third main directorate of the Ministry of Health, Sulzhenko, number, you see, the state classified the whole information and made it secret.
It sounds like with over 1 million...
more than 1 million
people exposed.
Of liquidating, who were liquidating the impact of the, no, the consequences of the accident, their fate was classified and made, kept secret.
And what, it seems odd that they would do that, because with 1 million people exposed, obviously there'd be a lot of public demonstrations that they were getting sick. And what's their motivation for classifying that information, do you think?
The motivation, какое у них основание для того, что у них за мотив был, чтобы делать ее секрет? Because they say that the motive for classifying and making this secret, this information, was that too many people were irradiated so as to keep or to save the image of the nuclear industry, so as to go on developing nuclear industry. They had to make it secret.
So that sounds very similar to this country, where
we're
not allowed to hear information about the negative effects of radiation, at least not through the mainstream press. I was curious about the other reactors.
Что с остальными реакторами в Чернобыле? First, they were shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started to operate them again. And not long ago, all the four reactors were shut down. Now they are doing construction works to construct a new shelter on the fourth reactor, over the reactor, which with the former shelter, you see?
Mm-hmm.
They have to put another shelter on it.
So if Natalia Menzerova worked as a liquidator at Chernobyl, She is still alive, and what has happened to all the scientists that came with her? And how is her health now?
Yes, out of 14 scientific people who came to Chernobyl with her, everybody died but her. Mm. She is the only one who survived.
And how is her health?
Как ваше здоровье? Yes, she is smiling because her health is not good. It's bad.
Mm.
She underwent two operations on her thyroid gland.
Mm-hmm.
She has no gland now. And her immune system suffered very much. She's got diseases of central nervous system, immune system, and she survived a stroke, so she can't say that she is healthy.
Yeah, tell her I'm very sorry to hear that, and I'd like to thank her for her work.
Uh-huh, я хочу поблагодарить вас за работу, okay?
We've been talking about the people who actually worked at the plant and worked to control the disaster. What's happened to the general population and how...
Что случилось с... Не только с людьми, которые должны были там работать, а с населением самим, что? What is going on with the population? Yes, how is the fate of the population?
Mm-hmm.
No, the population from this hot zone, they were resettled, and many of them, new villages were built, and they were given some small monetary compensation for the household articles that they lost. They made a medical register of all the people who were evacuated, and their health is being monitored.
Hmm.
But in Ukraine now, the government hasn't got enough money to give them adequate medical treatment, okay?
Okay.
Children who were exposed to the Chernobyl fallout have been experiencing chronic diseases as adults related to their respiratory,
mm-hmm.
digestive, nervous, and cardiovascular system, as well as internal organs. Overall, in 1991, the level of serious illness among children was about 6 to 7 times above normal, while the rate among the cleanup workers was 3 to 4 times above normal. The main thing is that children suffer most of all. Children exposed to radiation suffer most of all.
Hmm.
That's why we are so much concerned about the situation in Japan now.
Yes.
And what is more, the population which was resettled, they got huge stress, and post-traumatic syndrome is still going on because their life was divided into two parts. One part before the resettlement, and they had to start from the very beginning. They were not allowed to take anything from their homes. So they not even photos, so they had to start their life again. So the long-term effects of such post-traumatic syndrome are not yet known. The quality of life, of course, worsened very greatly. The Chernobyl reactor explosion, short-term effect, nearly 7 million recovery operation workers and inhabitants of the contaminated area. 7 million recovery or liquidating operation workers and inhabitants of the contaminated area.
Mm.
Chernobyl middle-term effect. The number of people in the area with thyroid issues had increased from 5 million to 100 million in between 1998 and 2008. that is estimation, from 5 million to 100 million.
Wow.
Long-term effect, 600 million people across the world. These are the figures of 2011.
Now,
this is the figures of United Nations Scientific Committee effects of atomic radiation. These are the figures.
Okay, thank you. I was going to ask where those came from.
Mm-hmm.
And how much area of land had to be evacuated and is still evacuated?
Какой район вынужден были они эвакуировать? Yes, you know, the only 30-kilometer zone was evacuated only because it is according to the norms which regulate the safety of nuclear industry, not because there were other places which were even more contaminated, but according to the regulations of safety norms, the only people from a 30-kilometer zone were evacuated.
Hmm.
When these norms were signed, safety norms for nuclear industry were made, nobody could imagine that the accident of such a magnitude could happen. And if I'm looking at the map now of radiation, of contamination, and I can see that in this 30-kilometer zone, some places are quite only 30%, 25% of all the areas which had been of the fallout. You see? That is, the fallout is just four times bigger than this zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you... the hot spots are everywhere in Europe. I can see them.
I see. Before we leave the subject of the terrible toll that this took, is there any estimate of the financial loss that was incurred?
Есть ли какие-нибудь представления о том, какие финансовые вообще затраты на все это, экономические?
I mean, it must be enormous considering all the effort that had to be put into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Due to the global impact of the accident, it is not possible to assess the damage because the damage is all over the world. And so they say that to liquidate the aftermath of such an accident, not one single state, just country, they can't cope with. Yeah, that's another factor. By 2015, the Chernobyl accident will cost $9 trillion just for Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia alone. The nuclear project number one, total cost of $9 trillion, is comparable to all other 145 countries' cost of socioeconomic development for the past 50 years. Can you imagine? I can't imagine such.
No, years. I can't really comprehend that, except
yes, it's, you can't comprehend.
And that's just for Russia.
Hmm?
That's just for Russia. You're talking about the $9 trillion.
Not
the contamination of Lapland or Scotland or
Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia alone.
Yeah,
$9 trillion. And by 2015, because the contamination is still there,
mm-hmm.
and it will stay there for years to come. And for future generations to deal with.
And it doesn't really account for any of the human suffering, which is staggering.
Which is enormous.
Yes.
And, by the way, not only the suffering of those who live now, but the suffering of future generations because of the birth defects.
Birth defects.
And, yes, because in this, you see all the areas, contaminated areas are to be exempt from the economic turnover. No activity is possible on them.
And how big is that still the 30-kilometer area, or is it bigger now?
Hmm?
Is it still the 30-kilometer landmass, or is it bigger?
Yes, this 30. Yes, as we have already told you, the contamination is also outside this zone, and the contamination is still spreading due to wind, due to underground water, due to food chain, you see?
Yes.
It is still spreading.
So,
And if you, I can see soaking into the soil from the nuclear particles. And if you look at 10 years after, 20 years after, 30 years after, you can see that this presence of nuclear particles is spreading in the soil.
And if you look at a map of the of Russia and the contamination, it doesn't look like a circle around Chernobyl. It's definitely
It's
heavier.
And if you look at the map of contamination, you can see that Finland, Norway, they suffered most. France, Germany, Italy, Spain.
And did they evacuate other areas outside of that 30-kilometer circle because of the weight of the contamination falling in certain places, or did they just stick with that geometric circle?
No. Когда они эвакуировали, они же не знали, что в те места, куда они эвакуируют, может быть, там тоже радиация, да? You see, when they were evacuating people from this zone, they didn't know that the places they are evacuating people to are contaminated.
Oh. So they moved them to bad places.
Yes.
This is WMRW LP Warren, and we're talking to three Russian experts on Chernobyl who are over here commemorating the 25th anniversary of the Chernobyl disaster, which I believe was April 26, 1986. And right now we're talking to Tatiana Mukomedyarova. Is that close at all? And who's translating for Natalia Menzerova?
And Natalia Mironova is here.
Yes. And I'd like to get her opinion also. I'd like to ask Natalia Menzerova if... was she pro-nuclear before Chernobyl? She was working for the Russian Radiological Sciences. Mm-hmm. Did this change her opinion about nuclear power, or did she already feel that there was a problem?
Ты хочешь тебя спросить, ты была же, конечно, за ядерную энергетику, потому что ты работала там. Как ты сейчас к этому относишься?
Now she says that now she is anti-nuclear by all means. Because she witnessed that the first accident of big magnitude happened in our Chelyabinsk region near in the nuclear facility Mayak, and due to secrecy, nobody can have use of the lessons of this accident. Then, due to secrecy of Chernobyl accident, again, the lessons can't be learned. And what is going on now in Japan, again, the lessons won't be learned. So she is definitely against nuclear industry.
Mm-hmm. And bringing it up to the present, does she feel that, and you also, whether we're being told the truth about what's happening in Japan right now?
И ты сейчас считаешь, что тоже они не говорят правду о том, что случается в Японии?
Yes, she is definitely sure that the truth is not being disclosed because it is not economically feasible to reveal the truth. And their money will suffer, their income or their profits will suffer, and it will undermine the future development of this industry. So she is very sorry, or she is hurt, and she worries about the consequences of this accident on the people of Japan. Because she knows that every accident which happens in this industry is quite unique And nobody can predict the impact of such an accident on the population. And it is very difficult to predict what a long-term hazardous impact to health will be and where it will reveal itself, on what people it will reveal itself due to the radiation being released into the air in Japan now. There we are in for a lot of unknown revelations, you see. And the nuclear industry wouldn't allow anyone to link health hazards to the impact of this accident. People will suffer, but no links will be established. Okay, that's what they are saying.
And we hear in this country that I hear nuclear proponents saying that no one has ever died from a nuclear accident.
Yes. That's what they are saying, that nobody died, because, of course, if people are exposed to a huge amount of radiation, they die instantly, you know, just in some days, you see, if it is acute radioactive radiation disease. But the impact on health is over long term, middle term, and even short term is very huge.
So it sounds like the fact that your immune system is pretty much destroyed, and your thyroid, which also affects your immune system, those cases have gone up by magnitudes of, I don't even know what that is, but it's enormous. It sounds like it's not just genetic, the illnesses that are caused by radiation. We're always told that it's, you know, if you don't get cancer, then there is no effect. But it sounds like there are many other diseases that radiation actually catalyzes.
Yes. It's quite true.
And
it's quite true.
You mentioned that she had a stroke. How does radiation, that affects heart disease too, is that correct?
And first of all, radiation and the stress from all these accidents and radiation and small doses of radiation, they first of all impair our central nervous system and vascular system. And so, and even mental health suffers.
So it sounds like children have suffered the worst in Russia from the effects of Chernobyl. And I think I read, I have the book called Chernobyl, Consequences of the Catastrophe for People and the Environment, mm-hmm. Which just was released here in the United States last spring, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, he says that I think 80% of the children there were healthy. Now there are areas where none of them are healthy, considered to be healthy.
Yeah, you are right.
Yeah. Which is incredibly tragic. Tatiana, perhaps I could ask you a question.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in this anti-nuclear movement?
Yeah, you know, I live in Chelyabinsk. And when perestroika began, Chelyabinsk was open. It was a secret also city. No foreigners were allowed in. And the secrecy was due to the fact that this nuclear facility, Mayak, was 100 kilometers away from Chelyabinsk. And we never knew about the accidents. Never. We were not told anything. So when this openness began, and this Natalia Mironova, who is sitting next to me now, she became the deputy of the regional parliament. They organized a huge scientific conference and invited a lot of foreign NGO groups to Chelyabinsk, and I was asked to interpret. And that was the first time I got information about what was going on. And when I went with these foreign friends to the village of Muslimova, the inhabitants of which were left by our nuclear industry to live on the river Techa, the banks of which were hard radioactive waste Can you imagine that the readings on the dosimeters on the bank were more than 1,000, I don't remember now, but they were radioactive wastes, because this nuclear facility, Mayak, discharged radioactivity into this river since 1948, when they started operating the reactor. And when I looked at these people, when I saw the way they lived, I became anti-nuclear immediately, because when journalists interviewed them, when I spoke to them, it's just so heartbreaking that it's impossible not to become involved. So I'm a volunteer in this movement ever since.
Can you describe what the people of that area, what was the problem?
No, the problem is that there were accidents when they started releasing radioactivity into the river, and people were living. There were 38 or something villages on the banks of this river. Mm-hmm. And when people started suffering leukemia just by whole villages, they resettled some of the villages, but they left four villages just to monitor the health and to see how the small doses affect the health. And people were not told that they were exposed to radiation. Even the doctors in these villages, medical people, were not told that they were exposed to radiation. They formed in Chelyabinsk a special branch of the Physics Biological Institute from Moscow, and they came to the villages, the scientific people came to the villages, they monitored their health and kept it secret. And people were not allowed just to know anything about irradiation. And I think this is just monstrous. So I'm against even peaceful nuclear. I don't think there is any peaceful nuclear, because they don't know what to do with the radioactive waste. They don't know. They leave this because we are now, and the reprocessing of the spent fuel is very hazardous to the environment, because it leaves, after reprocessing, a huge amount of radioactive waste again.
Mm-hmm.
And plutonium, if it, I am against plutonium of any kind, military or peaceful plutonium, because the particles of plutonium will stay very hazardous to health. I can't imagine how more years in the future. More than 2 million years. I can't imagine this. You see, it is beyond our human comprehension.
Yes. So it's a cost of nuclear technology that we're placing on our grandchildren. And
I think that it started as a weapon, and it started as a shield from wars. I think the wars we are having now is sheer madness, because people should become just cleverer not to go into war. I think that the governments and industries and I don't know who, they are mongering the war. And that's why, I went to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, to the international meetings. I know the sufferings of Japanese people. And I was I was very firm in my standing that it's not good to develop nuclear industry in Japan.
Mm.
They are very, if all the resources would be put to seeking alternative sources of energy, we will be safer. Okay,
yes,
that's all.
Yes, thank you for that. So I had a question about the Chelyabinsk, the people living in that area you were describing. So they studied them for the effects of low-dose radiation. I know that's a horrible thing for them to have done, and if for people who think that It's only in Russia that that happens. There was also a program like that in the United States called Project Sunshine, where there were over 254 releases of radiation into the environment to study the effects of, mm-hmm. of radiation on sterility mm-hmm. and people, and also on crops. Don't underestimate the power of scientific insanity to spread around the world. But what were the conclusions that those scientists came to about the doses of low radiation on a population? Do you know?
Он говорит, что не очень хорошо, конечно, спрашивать про это, но какие все-таки, то есть сейчас ведь тоже говорят о маленьких дозах радиации, что у нас постоянно выброс радиации в Америке происходит. Какие выводы ученые пришли, какое влияние маленьких доз радиации? Yes. Now, there is evidence, scientific evidence, that small doses of radiation, they just influence or impart, that is, they break the cell's membranes.
They break the cell membranes. Yes.
And there is no linear correlation. Correlation in a line mm-hmm. between small doses and effect. But yes, when there are small doses, the effect is in peaks.
Is in
not just in one line, you see? And it's quite a fact now that the cell is damaged, mm-hmm. affected. And there are two effects. One effect is called apoptosis.
Apoptosis, yes, cell death.
It means that the 10th generation of cells will die instantly.
Right.
Yes. And this, the so-called innocent bystander effect, when the irradiated cell, when the next to irradiated cell is suffers, just looking at the at the suffering cell, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've read about that bystander effect. That it's not.
Yes.
It's
innocent bystander effect.
It's not genetic, which is what we're told. The only damage that we usually get from radiation is.
No, it's not genetic. It is just on the level of cells.
So recently the United States government has been saying that we're not to worry that the radiation is coming across the Pacific and mm-hmm. possibly coming down in California. And as the winds go across the country, of course, it's dropping wherever it rains, most likely. We're not to worry because it's very low dose radiation. So you're saying there is a consequence to that low dose.
Yes.
And that ends part one of my interview with the Russian delegation from Chernobyl, recorded on March 22nd, 2011, when they were residing in East Montpelier. Part two, the final interview with an energy engineer who worked on the Chernobyl plant and other nuclear power plants, will be following in the weeks to come. Thanks for listening. This has been Politics and Science. I'm your host, John Barkhausen, and next week, stay tuned for another episode of Politics and Science. Previous episodes can be found at radio4all.net. That's radio4all.net. And the previous show did present the viewpoints of its participants and producers and did not necessarily represent the viewpoints of any other person or organization.